to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. With me today is my podcast partner, Mike Gianfagna. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dan.
Our guest is Moshe Zaltzberg, CEO of Verious. Moshe has more than 20 years of experience in the semiconductor industry, having spent over 12 years of his career at Cadence Design Systems. Moshe is an electrical engineering graduate of the Technion Israel Institute of Technology and holds a master's of electronics and an MBA, both from Tel Aviv University. Good morning, Moshe.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you today.
Today, we're going to talk about leading edge design and verification methodologies. But first, Moshe, tell us how you came to semiconductors.
Well, that was, quite a while ago. You know, you mentioned that I studied at the Technion, and I remember myself getting across this good and old Carver Mead book about semiconductors and all this silicon eyes, silicon ears, silicon brain, and that got me hooked into semiconductors. And, you know, that's how I got what sparked my interest in this career. And then I've done some hands-on ASIC design, moved to Cadence, spent some 12 years at Cadence doing different things, eventually being responsible for the services business across Europe, and later general manager for Cadence in Israel. So, you know, that got me deeply into the EDA business for quite a while. Then I moved on to lead operations for Presto Engineering to get me to how products are done. And eventually at Verious, that, you know, from my perspective, kind of puts everything together in terms of crazy ideas down to real products working efficiently. So that's my journey into semiconductors, so to speak.
Great. So Moshe, what is the Verious backstory? What do you do? Who are your customers?
So Verious is ASIC or IC design services company headquartered in Israel, where I'm based. But you know, we have people in different places across in Israel and across Europe, in Serbia and Hungary and other places. We actually work with different customers of different sizes and different backgrounds and different applications to commit their ideas to silicon. I think that we, you know, it's not new. It's not a new business. We've been around for some 14 years, and we've been growing in this period. But in general, you know, we work with customers that their business is, you know, can be communication, can be AI, can be sensors, computing, automotive. And our business is to help them do good silicon out of it, fast, effective, on budget. So we have, you know, over 100 people, as I said, you know, is specializing in everything from architecture, design, verification, dynamic verification, formal verification, emulation, embedded software, analog, and et cetera. So we really encompass a broad set of skills, and we have experts in this area that really can help our customers to realize their ideas.
So Moshe, you mentioned you've been in the business for 14 years, so clearly you've seen some changes over that time. Specifically, over the past 5 years, I would say things have accelerated a bit in terms of complexity. What's been your perspective on that? How has your business changed over the past 5 years or so?
So we, you know, from a variant-centric point of view, you know, we started being very focused in Israel, you know, because that's where we started the company, but we have grown both in terms of the skills, in terms of the people, in terms of the customers we work with. Today, we work with customers across Europe and the U.S. and sometimes the Far East. That's, as you know, as far as Verious goes. But in terms of the industry, I think that, you know, it's not new that silicon's everywhere. You know, I think that a few years ago, people thought that, you know, you could have one silicon that fits all and everything is software, and that software is eating the hardware lunch, so to speak. And now we are, I think we are in a situation that, you know, people realize that you need specialized silicon to do what you want to do, either from the functionality, from the performance, from the power envelope, and et cetera. And you know, I think that's what we are facing today and living these days and experience these days, that, you know, the different companies in different fields, companies that in the past were not traditionally you know, qualified as a semiconductor companies, they were system companies, they were, you know, companies in different fields, they realized they need to have specialized silicon to perform their specific task in a better way. And we have been actually working with many of these customers, both with the traditional semiconductor companies that need to, you know, often need our help, as well as different companies that, you know, come from different backgrounds. And they're, as I mentioned before, their business is a different business. They are experts in, as I said, AI or communications or automotive, and they come to us as experts in making sure that this, you know, we can put together the chips they need for their business, for their business to be successful. And we are experts in putting together this chips in with all the different disciplines that I mentioned before. You know, it's a lot of chips that the market is consuming or is demanding. That has implications on the production side, as we all know, and as we are experiencing the shortages on the production side. But at the same time, it requires the expertise to put together these chips. And it's not getting easy. It's become, you know, every generation is more complex, is bigger or it's smaller. And you need to have the right people with the right skills, with the right methodology to make sure that these chips are made successfully on time and et cetera.
Yeah, makes sense. I agree with you completely. Dan and I have had multiple discussions around this change that's happened with so many new entrants and silicon being kind of the innovative driving force. So it's a great time to be in semiconductors. It's a great time to be in EDA. It's kind of the golden age, if you will. With that said, what drives inspiration for you? Tell us a little bit about that.
So I think that, you know, one thing that I want to mention, there are different things that drive inspiration, and I'm a curious person and I have, you know, interest in different areas. But, you know, in this context of, you know, today's talk, one thing that I've been following quite closely is, you know, this, you know, we are all experiencing, you know, you ask about what happened in the last 5 years, but let's look at what happened in the last year. The world, you know, is still facing and fighting this pandemic. And I think that one point of inspiration is how the pharmaceutical industry actually were able to put together, you know, using technology, put together a disrupting solution. You know, vaccines in the past would take 5 to 10 years to develop, you know, a lot of money, a lot of time. And all of a sudden, you know, it's not really all of a sudden, it's something that happened in the last minute after a lot of people invested a lot of time before. But, you know, from our perspective, looking from the outside, all of a sudden, we have a vaccine, a working, a very effective vaccine in developing in 10 months. Okay, so Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, has announced that he's writing a book. It's going to be published in November. That the tagline goes as, you know, making the impossible possible. And it's, you know, and this is something that prompts me, and I think should prompt us as an industry to look at how we can do things differently. If these guys in really could completely disrupt the way vaccines are done, do we have an opportunity to disrupt how silicon is done? Because, you know, they were facing a crisis, and maybe, again, it's not the same type of crisis, hopefully, but I think we are facing, let's say, a difficult or a challenging time. And I think that there is a lot of inspiration that we could and should look at this, you know, friends from the pharmaceutical side to look at how to do things differently. So there was actually Albert, you know, I mentioned Albert Bullough before, so I don't have the book yet, but he published early, I think a month ago, he published an article in Harvard Business Review that he kind of tells the story, you know, at least on a bright version on how the vaccine was made. And he has some lessons learned that I think we should look at least as an industry. So, you know, just to quote a few points of it. So he says, you know, success is a team effort. And, you know, I'm a big believer in team effort and team spirit and teamwork inside a company and between what we do in various and what we do with our customers. You know, he talks about putting the purpose first. And I think we all have, you know, big goals to achieve together. He talks about encourage out of the box thinking, and again, maybe I'll touch on that a little bit later, and embrace cross-industry cooperation. And I think that still as an industry, we are only in the beginning of doing that. You know, I think that still things are being done in different silos. Inside companies, you know, analog with digital and software with hardware, and certainly outside of, you know, the company, you know, each company has their own way of doing things, and we don't tend to share as much knowledge as I believe could be possible. And not always, I believe, we think out of the box as may be possible. So I think that what happened very recently to us around the COVID-19 vaccine should and could be a wake-up call of, you know, ways that we could look at, you know, the way that we need to disrupt in our industry.
You know, that's a great analogy. It is a disruptive technology. It's remarkable as it's gone from many years to several months. I remember clearly when the first genome was sequenced, and boy, we've come a long way since then in a relatively short period of time. Sure. So it is exciting. And I think you're right there. You know, we've discussed this too in this podcast, you know, Moore's law is coming to an end. So innovation is over. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, the next chapter is going to be far more exciting than what came before, if we're up to the challenge. So you make a very good point there about the cautionary tale of being more collaborative, being more open, and, you know, being ready to embrace substantial change because the opportunity is there. Great discussion. I agree with you completely on that. So let's bring it back to Verriest a bit. What do you see as the unique role of Verriest as a services company in your market? How do you fit, and what's your contribution?
So just building on the previous point, I think that services companies in general, but, you know, certainly in Verriest, we embrace that exactly for the point, you know, if we're talking about cross-industry collaboration, you know, services companies see a lot of different projects and et cetera. And we at Verriest, as I said before, we work with different customers, different shapes and forms, different geographies, different applications, automotive, AI, sensor storage, computing, connectivity, etc. We cover different disciplines, and we have, you know, hardware and software people talking together and solving problems together. So by the very fact that as a services company, we are not into, you know, by definition, into a silo, I think we have a very critical role to play in the industry, exactly on the points that I mentioned before, on thinking out of the box, in teamwork, in collaboration. And that's exactly why I brought this example. You know, we talk to different people. There is an old famous, you know, I'm based in Israel, so there is an old and famous Jewish saying that says, who is a wise person? Someone that learn something from everyone. There is something to be learned from every project, from every person, from every individual, from every company. So we like to learn a lot. We like to look at how things are done and adopt best practices. And I think that's something unique to a services company, and that's certainly unique to Verius. We don't, what's important to mention here is that we don't only try to learn and keep it for ourselves. We are a big proponent of knowledge sharing. So we organize, meetups. We just had a big meetup here in Israel last week with people from many different companies, discussing different, how they do things, and actually having a panel on, for example, the good and bad and the ugly around System Verilog UVM that we just celebrated 10 years of it. What's next on that? What's good about it? What we need to really deeply understand, and what we need to maybe try different approaches. So, that's one example of knowledge sharing. We are a big supporter of the different conferences. Last year at DVCon Europe, I gave an opening keynote about what the verification world can learn from the software world. It looks like the software guys, if I brought an example from the pharmaceutical industry, let's look at what our friends in the software side are doing and what we can adopt there in terms of agility, in terms of open source, in terms of using data, using AI. So I believe that there's a lot to be learned from different people inside the industry, outside the industry. I think the Verius is in really in the center of these discussions, and we are promoting these discussions. I'm actually organizing a special session for DAC later this year on a similar topic. So back to your question, I think that because we are, talking to so many people, we are a change agent and a knowledge sharing agent inside the industry. And I want to believe, and we thrive to use all this knowledge that we get exposed to do a good job for our customers as well and the projects we are involved. So we believe that our customers are experts in the different areas, and we are experts in chip design and chip verification and everything around this.
Yeah, Moshe, I understand completely what you're saying. It's a similar experience with SemiWiki. I work with over 60 companies in the semiconductor ecosystem. And so I get a lot of touches. I see a lot of the different things that are happening in the semiconductor design cycle. And then I can, compare it to the analytics behind the site and get a good picture of what's happening. So, I use that to guide my future activities. What do you use for yours? What are your future goals, Moshe?
So, I think that the future goals is really to walk the talk on everything that we have been discussing before. We are, and we thrive to continue to be on top of all the existing technologies and methodologies, to really master them and command them, to make sure that we can do a good job in terms of the projects that we are involved. At the same time, we need and we want and we need to explore different ways, better ways of doing things, more effective, more efficient, both doing the right thing and doing the thing right. So that's, where I personally spend my time. That's where I personally have my passion, talking to new customers, innovative customers, looking at different methodologies and different ways of doing things to make sure that really we as a company, Verius, are always in the forefront on how to do, how to make chips in the best way possible, as well as how we work with the customers that want to embrace this kind of professional as well as open-minded approach to chip design. So we want to be make sure that we are doing things with very, a very deep foundations in terms of how chips are done. At the same time, be looking at how things can be done in a better way.
Great. Final thoughts, Moshe, before we close this out?
Well, I think that you know, everything is going on in the semiconductor. You know, semiconductor is really in the headlines these days for many good reasons. And, you know, in a way that was never like that before. You know, it's been discussed at the geopolitical levels, at the, you know, that you know, in different ways and different points. So it's semiconductors is everywhere. And I think it's in an inflection point. I mentioned this before, in a similar way that the pharmaceutical industry had to focus and to find better ways of how to address the challenges. I think that we as an industry need to find better ways of doing things, both on the production side as well as in the design side. We in various certainly want to be in, as I mentioned before, in the center of these discussions and in the center of exploring these different ways of doing things, and at the same time contributing to continue to do projects in a very consistent way, in a very professional way, in a very high quality way. So I think that's what we as Various want to be and want to do. And that's what we as the industry need to thrive for.
Yeah, I agree. Mike and I talk about this. I don't think there's ever been a more exciting time to be in the semiconductor industry. And, you know, a lot of that is part of some of the serious challenges we face, but it's a good time for the industry. And I see some really big challenges, but I also see some very exciting times ahead. So let's go ahead and stop it here. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Moshe. And thank you all for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.